No one go anywhere. We will now call to order the meeting of the San Diego MTS Executive Committee. Let me ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Before I begin, members of the public can make a public comment using the raise hand feature during the agenda item or make a request for any item using the Q&A feature. Members of the public will have 3 minutes to speak during the public comment. I will now repeat this in Spanish. Antes de comenzar, los miembros del público pueden hacer un comentario público utilizando la función raise hand o levantar la mano durante el artículo de la agenda o peticionar cualquier artículo utilizando la función Q&A o preguntas y respuestas. Los miembros del público tendrán 3 minutos para hacer su comentario. I will now call roll. Fletcher? Sotelo Solis?
Sotelo Solis, present.
Ila Rivera?
Present.
Hall?
Here.
Montgomery Stepp?
Here.
Salas? Sankey? Here. Councilmember Sankey, can you please use your...
Here.
Thank you. Chair, we have a quorum.
All right. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the October 7th, 2021 meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion by myself, second by member Ila Rivera. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion carries unanimously. We'll go to agenda item 3. I'll ask the clerk if we have any requests for non-agendized public communication.
We have none, Chair.
All right. Our first action item today to consider approval of a recommendation regarding a downtown layover. I will turn it over to Dennis for a presentation.
Good morning, thank you very much. The downtown stopover project, or what we call operationally as the layover project, is very important to MTS. It's been something that's been in the works for over 10 years now. I think it was back in 2009 or 2010 that we all did a block by block walk of the western area of downtown, looking at our operations and our needs down there. We have more than 400 bus trips that end in the western portion of downtown every single day. The new draft regional plan at Sandag, as well as our Elevate, were very aligned in the fact that there'd be a very major growth in bus services, which would result in more than 700 trips ending in the downtown western downtown area. We currently use over a dozen different layover locations in the west end of downtown. All of these are on street. We use curb space. We have buses parked along curbs. And this project seeks to put an off-street facility where we could handle those needs. So we really do need to have layovers. As we've worked through this project, we've had lots of questions about what the function of a layover is and what that really is. It's at the end of the trip when the bus driver has 8 to 10 to 12 minutes to take a break and also recover their schedule. So if they arrive downtown late, they have some time to recover the schedule so that they can start their next trip on time. So it is preferred to have an off-street layover wherever we can, wherever we have numerous buses laying over in one location. So to give you a little bit of a lay of the land in the downtown area, all the blue squares that you see in this map of downtown are where we are currently laying over 1 to 3 buses. We are constantly having to shift these around as projects develop downtown. We get kicked out of them. What used to be curb space is now a driveway, or it's a new business or a new home that is not looked favorably upon having a bus parked out in front between 4 a.m. and 1 a.m. So these do move around frequently. It's always a little bit of a whack-a-mole getting appropriate places to lay buses over, and that'll continue to be a problem as downtown continues to redevelop. We do need to provide restroom facilities for drivers. We attempt to do this with cooperation of local businesses, but that's not always possible, especially with the volumes we're talking about here. So we are using portable toilets that we're putting on the sidewalks. This does generate community complaints, but it also makes our buses vulnerable to accidents and vandalism while they're sitting out on the street. And then there's a driver safety issue. Again, these buses are out there from 4 a.m. until 1 a.m. And having drivers sitting on the bus or taking a break outside the bus in those dark hours, we'd like to be able to put that in a more secure facility for them. The area that we're talking about today, I'm going to circle with the mouse. It's really this area, this cluster of buses down here may incorporate some of these others as this project develops, but it's really talking about this major cluster in the neighborhood of A and Front Street in Western downtown. Here's a few photos on the slide now that show the situation as it is today. In the upper left corner, we see some rapid buses. This is a State Street layover for our Route 215. We get up to 3 articulated buses there at a time. So the city has allowed us to restripe the street to effectively have a bus lane there. The property next to it is owned by the state of California. As that gets redeveloped at some point, we'll probably lose this layover spot. In the upper right, you see some portable toilets there. That's at our Rapid 235 layover along eastbound A Street between India and Columbia Streets. And then the picture at the bottom, this is actually a Google Street View image that I included because you see buses on all four corners here. You can't see another bus that would be parked around the corner on southbound Front Street. And then behind this photo, there'd be buses parked on the previous block as well. So you get an idea of what our impact is in the Western downtown area here. We knew that this was going to become an especially acute problem with the start of rapid services in 2014, which is why we kicked this off around 2009 or 2010 with Sandag. At the same time, they were looking for some permanent office space, and it seemed like good potential to provide or construct some type of a mixed-use facility that could provide for both uses. And this facility would be used not only by those Transnet-funded rapid services, which include our South Bay, I-15, and Mid-City Rapid, but also by our local bus services, which is why we are participating in it. So Sandag has been working since about 2010 on various aspects of this project, including site selection, some environmental studies, various design possibilities for the project, and then what the financial model could look like. In 2016, the Sandag board selected a preferred site bounded by State Street on the west, Union Street on the east, A Street on the north, and B Street on the south. This is directly across B Street from the new Superior Court complex. On the left here is a site ownership map of the project. Sandag has been able to purchase two of the parcels, and that's what you see in the top and upper right in orange. There are four other parcels on the block that they are currently working to acquire. They have $46 million currently budgeted out of Transnet for this project. The environmental and site acquisition is included in the 2021 RTIP, but more funds will be needed to complete the project. One of the things they're looking at is a potential public-private partnership to develop the site. Again, could include office space for Sandag and other uses. So today, we've been asked to contribute $1.4 million to continue the site acquisition of a couple additional parcels for this project. And again, our participation is because it's not only rapid buses, but also our own local services that would be using this facility. These funds would come out of our miscellaneous capital line item out of our CIP. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Dennis. Just a quick question. So Sandag's the lead on pulling all this together and executing, is that right? We're just correct. Contributing some funds and then they will build in permanent layover space for us?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
But I did want to mention to you that we don't know how they're going to fund the acquisition of the rest of the parcels. So Karen's been working with their legal counsel to try to put something in our agreement that I don't want to just park $1.4 million indefinitely if we're not going to actually use this site. So we're trying to work with them to try to guarantee that. Karen can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and we should have a draft that this, if the executive committee recommends it, it would go to the board in 2 weeks. And so there would be a draft kind of fund transfer agreement attached to that agenda item. But we're looking at potentially just trying to put an outside time limit of if Sandag doesn't, you know, complete or start construction within a certain number of years, that then they would come back and meet and confer with MTS to make sure that the project actually happens.
Do they need the whole block for the project to work? They do, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about various scenarios where we could use a partial block, but it just doesn't work really well to get the capacity that we need, especially if there's consideration of a future mixed use development, which would also require some
more space.
Yeah, space.
Okay.
I will say that they do have a proposal for just using part of the block. It just wouldn't assist us that well. It would just get a few of the buses off right. the street.
Yeah, and I assume that's a part of our 1.4 million. I'm fine to contribute for an MTS purpose with buses. I don't want to contribute 1.4 million for Sandagable office space. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay. It's got to serve our needs for bus layovers as Absolutely. Well. So. Mr. Sankey, and then we'll go to Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remember this project at Sandag, and some of the renderings were actually pretty interesting. It was, you know, a multi-story building, 10, 20 stories high, with an affordable housing component, market housing component, mixed use. It seemed to have an office, obviously, for MTS. It seemed to have a lot of utility. I know they were having a lot of trouble with the Bar Association in terms of negotiating a purchase price for that. I think the 1.4, I like that we're putting some strings on it. I think that makes a lot of sense. My gut feeling 3 years ago, the board didn't really have a stomach for this, the Sandag board, and it is their project. So
I would just say that
but the board composition has changed, so that may be different now.
One of the reasons for this request is that the Sandag has made significant progress in negotiating with the Bar Association. And so hoping that this would allow them to complete that transaction.
Yeah, that's good news. I think the project has some significant MTS benefits and also for Sandag, so we can turn into a win-win, and that's a good thing. So I'm supportive of it at this point.
Hope springs eternal. Mr. Rivera.
Thank you, Chair. Just thinking about how not fun it sounds like to negotiate with the Bar Association. I've been in the building, I've had friends there, and that just sounds awful. So I am curious about the accessibility, if at all, for the public. I understand the main purpose of this, and it's super important that our drivers are, you know, have a space to rest, that the buses can park in a place that isn't, you know, it's not the whack-a-mole system that we have now. Do we have a sense of what, if any, accessibility for the public there may be?
This would strictly be for our use. So it would be a facility that we would use. We wouldn't do maintenance there. We wouldn't do anything else. It would just be a restroom for the drivers. And the reason we don't share those is because when they get there, they need immediate use of them. Mm-hmm. It's because the time frame for their breaks are so short that they need to then get back on the bus. And so we found that when we've tried to use mixed-use restrooms, it just doesn't work. Even with rail operators and bus drivers, it doesn't work because they're all converging at the same time and they have to do it really quickly.
Understood. So I'm just thinking about, and I'm not a plumber, I'm not any of the things that require the technical expertise of figuring out how this would work. But it would seem that once you start doing that work, that there'd be some opportunities there to create public access, maybe on a with a some sort of division. We've had conversations on multiple accounts now here about the importance of restroom accessibility and making in that it will make transit a more attractive and dignified experience for folks. I am curious if there's any way that we can work with Sandag as they're planning this to try to incorporate. And again, as I mentioned before, I think the city has some responsibility here as well. And there's potential public-public partnership. We saw some of the reference to that in the YASPI presentation.
Can I just clarify, though, there will be no bus stops near this. So we don't actually stop the bus and lay over at the bus stop for the most part. There are instances where we do that, but this would be, they drop their last passengers at the bus stop, for instance, at Santa Fe Depot or wherever, America Plaza, and then they would pull into the layover.
Understood, but we're two blocks from the Courthouse Trolley Station, three blocks from the Rapid, from some of the Rapid stops. So when we, like that network of restrooms that we've discussed, again, thinking down in the future, that this could be a part of that. I just hope that it can be part of the conversation. Once it's built. And if there's a way for us to at least explore that as a possibility, again, totally respect and appreciate the need for the drivers to have their own space. But if there's a way to kind of do this on the outside, I think that it could be part of that network that we're trying to build. Don't want to belabor the point. If once it gets built, then it's built. And I know we're a long ways away from there, but I also hope that Sandag will be communicating with us regularly as the plans are put forward.
All right, make a motion to approve. Is there a second? All right, we have a motion by myself, second by Member Sankey. I see Councilmember Montgomery Stepp.
Thank you, sir. Just a quick question. Of course, I support this. I just want to know, once we get there, it seems like it's still far off. Is this the type of project where we would be putting out an RFQ, RFP, or using on-call list firms for the construction side of it?
This is Karen Landers. So this is still a project over at Sandag. So Sandag would be the lead on both the construction and to the extent that they did any TOD public-private partnership. So I think that's still to be determined of, would they acquire the property, build an interim facility for MTS to use, and then go seek a development partner, or would they do that all at one time? Like, those are all decisions that would happen at Sandag.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
But again, I could clarify as well that I have had conversations with Sandag where they've talked about possibly turning the properties over to us for our ability to do a joint development as well. So it's all very fluid at this point because, one, there's just no money. Mm-hmm. And two, they don't have a set partner yet for doing that.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification too, because this may be a decision we have to make. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments, questions, thoughts? Not seeing any. We have a motion by myself, second by Mr. Sankey. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? That carries unanimously. Go to agenda item number 5. Let me ask members of the executive committee if they have any thoughts on the draft November 18, 2021 MTS board agenda, or staff, if there's any comments.
Yeah, we're going to have to add an item. So I wanted to bring this to your attention. We've been trying to settle the memorandum of understanding with Sandag related to operating funding for Midcoast. Karen's been negotiating with them. We do not have a signed document yet. We understand now that Sandag is only willing to offer us 5 years of funding. We find that out this week, and that that's their obligation to the federal government for the full funding grant agreement. It's about $10 million a year in operating costs. And the reason they're saying is that because Transnet, the 8.1% that is dedicated towards operating the transit facilities that they're building and operating the actual service, they anticipate that it will actually be depleted in 5 years. So, you know, we've had these conversations with them in the past. I was under the impression that their agreement with the federal government was actually for the life of the infrastructure. So I wanted to raise that with you. We didn't feel comfortable as staff to sign any agreement to this effect without bringing it to the board's attention. So Karen's gonna bring an item in 2 weeks to the board, so that you all can have that conversation. But I wanted to bring that to your attention. Normally we would just sign these because it's a pass-through. They would just pay us for the operating dollars that we're not making out of the fare box. But in this instance, it's actually could hit our bottom line in 5 years.
Karen, real quick, through the chair. Is it possible to have somebody from Sandag here for that presentation? I mean,
we can ask.
Yeah, we can ask. I'd love to have somebody from them tell us why that's a good idea.
This has broader implications for our bus rapid transit services as well. I sent a letter to Hassan reminding them that we have an agreement that they would replace our buses through Transnet. You know, the Superloop buses have an age to replace. And the response was that they don't have any funding for replacement and that's an MTS responsibility. So our agreement is not valid anymore. So this is I know I've raised it to your attention before, but now we're about to open Midcoast, and this is an agreement that we need to get in place, at least in the interim, and then we can have those conversations at Sandag.
What is the, so it's $10 million a year, we think is the operating for Midcoast?
That's the subsidy. So the farebox recovery they're anticipating is about 41%, which I think is achievable, but anyway.
And then what's the rough cost of the bus component?
The buses is much more significant. Larry had a whole breakdown of this.
We can certainly put this on the agenda for the 18th. I'm just a little worried we're getting too much off of the topic.
Let's hold it for the 18th. Yeah. We'll add it to the agenda. We'll notice it. We'll discuss it there. Yeah. When we discuss it there, we probably want to get a complete picture of these numbers so that the board can.
Yes.
Yes. Sure. Fair enough. Good point. Okay, any other comments on draft agenda? All right, other staff communications, any?
Well, I did want to let you know that the American Public Transportation Association annual meeting is next week, and we were will be awarded an award for safety related to our COVID-19 response. That's a North American award for all of North America. So we're really proud of that. We submitted for both bus and rail, and they are giving us the award next week. We weren't able to put out a press release after, but we were supposed to wait until they've announced it.
Well, congratulations. Good work by everyone. Committee member comes, another business, open mic time. Executive committee members, anything to share? All right, not seeing any. Our next meeting date is December 2nd, 2021 for the executive committee. And I will see you all on November 18th at our full board meeting. With that, we stand adjourned.